Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Iti vigyapito devair. Bhagavan atma bhutripa. Parito brigu dakshadyar. Yayo daitye svarashramam. Iti, thus, Vigyapita informed Devai by all the demigods, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Atmabhu, Lord Brahma, who was born from the lotus flower, Ripa, O King, Paritaha, being surrounded, Brigu, by Brigu, Daksha, Daksha, Adyai, by others, Yayo, went, Daitya Ishvara, of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the daityas, ashramam, to the place of austerity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, being thus informed by the demigods, the most powerful Lord Brahma, accompanied by Bhrigu, Daksha, and other great sages, immediately started for the place where Hiranyakashipu was performing his penances and austerities. Purport. Lord Brahma was waiting for the austerities performed by Hiranyakashipu to mature so that he could go there and offer benedictions according to Hiranyakashipu's desire. Now taking the opportunity of being accompanied by all the demigods and great saintly persons, Brahma went there to award him the benediction he desired. Text 15 to 16. Lord Brahma was carried by a swan airplane. At first could not see where Hiranyakashipu was, for Hiranyakashipu's body was covered by an anthill and by grass and bamboo sticks. Because Hiranyakashipu had been there for a long time, the ants had devoured his skin, fat flesh, and blood. Then Lord Brahma and the demigods spotted him, resembling a cloud-covered sun, heating all the world by his austerity. Struck with wonder, Lord Brahma began to smile and then addressed him as follows. Purport. The living entity can live merely by his own power, without the help of skin, marrow, bone, blood, and so on. Because it is said, Asango Yam Purushaha. The living entity has nothing to do with the material covering. Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of austerity, tapasya austerity, for many long years. Indeed, it is said that he performed the tapasya for 100 heavenly years. Since one day of the demigods equals 6 of our months, certainly this was a very long time. By nature's own way, his body had become almost consumed by earthworms, ants, and other parasites, and therefore even Brahma was at once unable to see him. Later, however, Brahma could ascertain where Hiranyakashipu was, and Brahma was struck with wonder to see Hiranyakashipu's extraordinary power to execute tapasya. Anyone could conclude that Hiranyakashipu was dead because his body was covered in so many ways. But Lord Brahma, the supreme living being in this universe, but understand that Hiranyakashipu was alive, but covered by material elements. It is also to be noted that although Hiranyakashipu performed his austerity for a long, long time, he was nonetheless known as a daitya and rakshasa. It will be seen from verses to follow that even great saintly persons cannot perform such a severe type of austerity. Why then, was it called a Rakshasa and a Daitya? You go up to someone in the street and say, "You're a Rakshasa." They say, "Really?" "Yeah, and you're a Daitya." "Really?" "Thank you." No one would call that, no one's ever given me that kind of compliment before. It is because whatever he did was his own sense gratification. His son Prahlad was only 5 years old, and so what could Prahlad do? Yet simply by performing a little devotional service, according to the instructions of Narada Muni, Prahlad became so dear to the Lord that the Lord came to save him. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, in spite of all his austerities, was killed. This is the difference between devotional service and other methods of perfection. One who performs severe austerities for sense gratification is fearful to the entire world, whereas the devotee who performs even a slight amount of devotional service is a friend to everyone. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Since the Lord is the well-wisher of every living entity, and since a sincere devotee assumes the qualities of the Lord, a devotee can act for everyone's good fortune by performing devotional service. Thus, although Hiranyakashipu performed such a severe austerity, he remained a daitya and a rakshasa. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj, although born of the same daitya father, became the most exalted devotee and was personally protected by the Supreme Lord. Bhakti is therefore called Sarva Padi Vinirmuktam, indicating that a devotee is free from all material designations, and Anya Vilashita Shunyam, situated in a transcendental position, free from all material desires. Everyone in this world is glorified by austerity. Just like, for instance, to become a world-famous golf player requires a lot of austerity. You have to spend your whole life trying to figure out how to swing a club and hit a little ball and take all different types of clubs and keep on hitting that little ball until it gets into a hole. It means your whole life had to be concentrated, every movement in your has to be aimed at getting that ball into a hole. At night you dream of balls going into holes, and the day you're hitting the ball into the hole. And in between, you're swinging, you're meditating, how can that ball go into the hole quicker? And if you can get the ball into the hole before anyone else, then you're considered to be a great personality of this world, worthy of following. You become a Mahajan, one of the great Mahatmas in modern society. Similarly, every single activity requires some to become perfect at, or to make improvement at, requires some austerity. If you walk around to the park, you'll see people playing tennis. So it appears that they're enjoying, but actually their whole aim is somehow or another get that ball over the net without getting it too far over the net. And their whole anxiety is, here comes the ball, how do I hit the ball so it goes over the net and it doesn't go too far or to one side or too far over the court. How do I do it? Always an anxiety. And if you can hit the ball and it actually goes over the net but not too far to one side or the other, or not too far over the court, then you're relieved. Oh, Krishna. And then it's back again in your court. Oh my God, again. How do I hit this ball so it doesn't come back to me anymore? I can't stand it. Whack! So even if it's not a great physical austerity, it's a great mental austerity. And the result is that what you hope for is you get a point, or else it's called love. Love zero. No one loves you. You got zero love. So everyone is engaging in some austerity. Even if you want to collect butterflies, you have to go out, who knows what time of the day, with a net, with your binoculars, looking everywhere, twisting your neck, jumping up and down, to get some poor innocent butterfly. Oh, I got you. thank Krishna, I got a butterfly. I've been working 10 hours out here, finally I got one of those things. And then you can show it to your friends, see, the result of my austerity, and they're going, wow, I wish I could do that too. You're a great personality. You're increasing the bliss of the world by capturing a butterfly. So everyone's trying to increase their, at least their own bliss, their own happiness, by going through austerity. And the result is, Natevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu Durashiya Ye Bahir Artamanina. They don't know real actually happiness is. They're interested in completely insignificant things. And why? Because they're blind. Now it looks like they have some vision, but actually they're blind because they don't really see what's going on. Ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vaganan vita vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. Itanto yoginas chayanam pashant yatma yunavashtitaha itanto yakritatmano naivam pashant yachetisaha. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in spiritual knowledge can see all this clearly, but those whose eyes are not trained, although they may try, cannot see what's taking place. So everyone's engaged in some austerity to get some vision. Everyone's trying to see things as they are. Either trying, and in order to acquire knowledge and happiness, whatever it may be. So knowledge that there is the fairway, here's the ball, here's the club, here's my body, how do we put it together so we can send this ball on its way towards eternity, towards bliss. We hit the little ball and they'll have a blissful ride and the ball will be happy, we'll be happy, the fans will be happy, and I'll get fame, profit, adoration, distinction. So that's the vision. Here is, you know, and if you become expert, if you have a clear vision, how to hit the ball, the timing, exactly the amount of strength you have to put into it, exactly what the time, place, and circumstance are, then you think you're making progress towards the ultimate goal of life. But they don't see what's really taking place, that they're not the doer, the ball is not their energy, Krishna is supplying all their talent to do it, they become convinced that this is the goal of life, and there's so many other foolish people just like them, giving them money, fame, profit, adoration, distinction, for doing something which is completely useless. Has no value whatsoever, and at the end, they'll simply die like everyone else, and maybe they'll come back, you know, as a mouse on the fairway, you know, in one of those holes. And that will be the result of all their activity. Therefore, one needs vision. So Prahlad Maharaj, he learned from actually a Mahatma, a real Mahatma, who could actually see things properly, who could see what was really taking place. How Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb and he had opportunity to become a great devotee of Krishna, in spite of the fact that he was born in a daitya family of a Rakshasa, Aranyakashipu. Therefore, Narada Muni gave him good instructions and Prahlad Maharaj was receptive. And at the end, he became a great devotee and he obtained perfection of life through pure devotional service. And that with little effort, seemingly little effort, just chanting Hare Krishna constantly, didn't have to have his body eaten by worms and moss and insects and ants. He didn't have to be covered by an anthill. And he got more power than Hiranyakashipu did. So much so that Hiranyakashipu said, where did you get your power from, Prahlad? And Prahlad Maharaj said, the same person you get your power from God. God, what do you mean God? I am God. How dare you say you get your power from another God except from me? Where is your God, Prahlad? Is he in this pillar? we'll save that for the day to let you know. We're in the Shinga Chaturdasi, and then we'll tell you where God was. But one thing was for certain, as we know, God was not in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. At least he wasn't aware of it. And therefore he went through so much austerity for nothing. Of course, we can't say it was for nothing. I mean, if you get killed on the lap of God, God doesn't usually come and kill everyone. Put him on his lap and, oh, Rakabai, Hiranyakashipu. Oh, I think he'll give you a little scratch of love. Not everyone is so qualified as Hiranyakashipu to be killed by, on the lap of God. But still, he didn't really gain anything from all his austerity. Except that eventually he went back to the spiritual world where he came from, because that was Krishna's arrangement. Sometimes. But it's not that every time Hiranyakashipu appears, and he does appear regularly, it's not the same soul, perhaps, but there is always, regularly there's Hiranyakashipus, there's Shishupals, there's Ravanas. These are part of Ramachandra's Nitya Leela. Sometimes they're gatekeepers, and sometimes they're actually demons. This time they happen to be gatekeepers from Vaikuntha, but sometimes they're actually demons. In any case, if they're actual demons, all they get is to merge into Brahman, which is not a very high perfection of life. For all their austerity, to merge in Brahman is not exactly what you want to spend thousands and thousands of years to accomplish. It's like sitting before a television, before the programs come on, and you see a blank screen. I mean, how much enthusiasm can you get seeing a blank screen? Even if you have a day off, how long are you going to watch the blank screen for? So Brahman is peaceful. No one's going to bother you. You don't have to worry about waking up on time. When it is actually completely peaceful, except the fact that you're not doing anything. So therefore, in spite of whatever little happiness may be there, actual positive pleasure, but it's not sufficient to actually satisfy the desires of the soul. But Prahlad Maharaj, with the left foot, he was able to obtain perfection and became Naiva Dvijay Paradharatya Vaitaranyas Tvavirya Gayana Mahamrita Magni Chitak Soche Vimukha Chaitasa Indriyarata Maya Sukhayam Bharam Urva Ito Vimudan. Prahlad Maharaj said, when he was offered a benediction, I don't need any of these benedictions. Because whenever, I don't even want to cross over the ocean of material existence, become free from all material anxieties and misery. Because whenever I chant your holy name, immediately my mind merges into an ocean of bliss, and I become completely happy. So that's offered to us, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our activities are, we can merge into the ocean of transcendental bliss if we simply chant Hare Krishna and try to serve Krishna. And that can be done at any moment, any time, any place, under any circumstances. So this is quite fortunate. We just have to understand our fortune and take advantage of it. On the other hand, Prahlad Maharaj says, Soche vimukha chaitasa indriyarata, that I don't really want any benedictions, but Lord Nrisimhadeva was wondering, well, why do you seem so unhappy? You say you're blissful, you emerge in the ocean of bliss, but why do you seem distraught? He said, because I'm looking around and I'm seeing all these mudhas, these vimudhas, these super fools, super asses. They're working hard for sense gratification, simply suffering. They're looking for happiness, they're actually looking for you, but they're looking in the wrong place. Therefore, I'm lamenting and I'm trying to help them come back to you so that they can also become happy. So Hiranyakashipu is trying to make everyone miserable by his austerities, and Prahlad Maharaj, by his very simple austerity, was trying to make everyone happy. So we have a choice. Either we can go around trying to make everyone miserable, or we can try to make them happy. That's up to us to decide. Because if we try and make everyone happy, then we'll become happy. And if we try and make everyone miserable, then we'll simply become miserable. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I always thought that when the body is no longer usable, then the soul has no other choice but has to leave the body. But in this case, from the purport, we can see that his body was practically completely decomposed, but still he was present there and even stronger than ever, it seems. So could you just please tell something on this mechanics of how the soul...
Well, you're interested in it? How to bring your life air into the bones?
I'm just wondering how this...
You need
can
some
be.
Instruction in this? No, if you're... Everything depends upon your intelligence. How much intelligence you have. So if you have enough intelligence, you can do anything. Krishna tells you how to do it. You can do anything in this world. How to manipulate the elements in such ways you can accomplish anything. Krishna has all mystic power. And if he gives you the intelligence and takes control, then he can do anything he wants. Even just like in the battle against the demigods and the demons on the shore of the ocean of milk, sometimes some of the combatants were killed, but they were so enthusiastic about fighting that in their subtle body they picked up their gross body and continued on fighting. How they did that? Well, you have to go to demigod school or demon school to find out. There's a whole course in it. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu, being a gatekeeper from Vaikuntha and being empowered by Krishna, he knew what to do, how to do that. I don't know how to do it. I couldn't teach you, but if you wait around long enough for the next Satyuga, perhaps you can get some instruction from Hiranyakashipu. He can help you. But it's not a fact that the material world works according to one. The way we do it, that's the way the whole universe works. Because we can't, if our body's not working well, then we have to leave. But we can see, even sometimes people have such determination, they're shot with arrows everywhere, like Bhishma Dev, and still he's maintaining himself and his body. There's not a finger distance between one arrow and another, and it's still he's maintaining himself and his body. How he does it? Well, yeah, if you really want to find out, you have to wait for next Dwarpa Yuga and then ask him. Other than that, we just accept it. That the world doesn't work, according to what I heard, that's the way it's supposed to be. Bhishma, you aren't supposed to be in there. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. I read in the Bhagavatam somewhere that, when the body doesn't work anymore, you're supposed to leave. Oh, I didn't know that, I'm sorry. I skipped that part of the Bhagavatam. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
We see that Hiranyakashipu's austerity afflicts the whole universe, the demigods. Also, we can remember that when Dhruva Maharaj was performing his austerities, also the demigods went to Lord Vishnu being suffocated or choked. So, I don't know if it's a good question, but I'm just curious, how does it work that one person's austerity gives such affliction to the whole, especially to the demigods? Is there some insight into the
technique?
What's the theoretical mechanism?
Well, that's explained in the Bhagavatam. There's the explanation. Just like when normally we can't run that fast. Certainly we can't run as fast as an airplane. But if we get inside the airplane, then we're running, we go at the same speed of the airplane. So similarly, when one identifies oneself with Vishnu, because actually Vishnu is the doer, by Vishnu's influence, one becomes as powerful as himself. Because one becomes one with Vishnu, you could say, like you become one with the airplane. So when you stop breathing, then Vishnu has everyone else stop breathing also simultaneously. It's all by Vishnu's power. It wasn't little Dhruva, 5 years old, was causing the whole universe to, you know, suffocate. It was Vishnu who was doing it. And by Dhruva Maharaj's austerity, because he was identifying with stopping breathing, but he was identifying himself with Vishnu at that time. Therefore, when he stopped, Vishnu had everyone else stop also. Follow the leader. Vishnu wants everyone to stop, or when Dhruva Maharaj, his body became one with Vishnu, one in harmony with Vishnu, so when he put his foot down, the earth caved in. So as much as we identify ourselves with Krishna also, then Nimitra Matram Bhavasavasachin, then we become an instrument for Krishna. Then Krishna takes control. For us, his internal energy takes control, and the activities are done by the internal energy, not by this little tiny soul or who we think we are, or whatever. It's done by the internal energy of Krishna. Yes.
It's quite awe-inspiring, and it definitely merits more contemplation. It's happening.
Yeah, because we're limited by our material conceptions, and our material faith, we could say, because we don't really have that much faith in Vishnu, because we're not aware of Krishna that much. Therefore, we think our activities are limited. But if we actually, as much as we actually become aware of Krishna, how he's doing everything, and as much as he takes really charge, then we will realize simultaneously how, by Krishna, he can do anything. He could, as Prabhupada said, Bhaktivinoda Kori said, Vishnu Jai Maharaj was asking Srila Prabhupada about Bhaktivinoda Kori. He said, I'm going away, my job unfinished. So what did he mean? So what did Vishnu Jai Swami ask Prabhupada? What did that mean? So Prabhupada said, actually he went away and he left something for us to do. He said he's a Vaishnava. He's all powerful. He can do anything. But he wanted to leave something for us to do. So we may think, well, that's just then. But actually, Krishna, he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said when he went back, everyone went back with him to the spiritual world. But what that usually means is that by this process, the devotional service that we're all engaged in, that we're given an opportunity to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and bring others back to the spiritual world. So he's giving us that opportunity. He's the one who's bringing everyone back, but he allows us to become an instrument. And as much as we become an instrument, then we become eligible to go back too. But actually, he's the doer. He's the one who's empowering. Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Tara Bhavartana. He's empowering everyone. But if we become empowered by becoming one with him in purpose, one with him in consciousness, then the result is that he can do it. Amazing things. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.